Amazing Grace by Kim Nash, read by Alex Rivers for Saga Egmont. This book was inspired by my very own amazing mum, Christine Nash, the best mum ever. And if I'm half the mum you were, then I'm doing something right. I miss you every single day of my life and wish you were here to share all my moments with me. If your mum is still here on earth, love her, cherish her, and make the most of every minute. The one thing you can never get back is time, and I would trade anything to have just 5 minutes with Mum once more. Reunited now with Dad, I hope you are both watching down over us, Mum and Dad, and that I have made you proud. Chapter 1. Grace was woken from her slumber by the rattle of the letterbox and the thud of post hitting the doormat, followed by a grizzling, subdued woof. When she realised this was an Archie-free day, she sighed, and then remembered that she'd offered to work today, just for something to occupy her. She looked at the clock, 7:30 a.m. Much as she'd love to roll over and have a few more minutes, she'd better get a shimmy on. Grabbing her fleecy dressing gown from the hook on the back of her bedroom door, she trundled downstairs, still a bit bleary-eyed, to make her first coffee of the day. There, at the bottom of the stairs, lying on the front doormat with a pile of post on his head, was Bex, her most handsome and faithful furry friend. Every single morning, without fail, he greeted her with the biggest wiggle of his bum and a face that scrunched up in a lopsided doggy smile. What a perfect start to the day. She sat on the bottom stair and he climbed onto her lap, ecstatic with his early morning fussing session. He couldn't get any closer if he tried. As a labradoodle, or a mongrel, as her dad would say, he was quite a big dog and way too big for sitting on laps, but he was also the second love of her life, so she let him. After minutes of him trying to suffocate her with affection, Grace shooed him off and grabbed the pile of post, flinging it on the breakfast bar on her way through to the kitchen. While the kettle boiled, she stretched and rolled her neck to relieve her aches and pains. Crikey, if she felt like this at 37, how would 50 feel? And then 70? Didn't bear thinking about. Putting the milk back in the fridge, she sat on one of the bar stools and noticed that a gold envelope peeked out from the normal brown ones that she always tried to ignore. "Ooh, Bex, what have we here?" she asked him, wondering who she used to talk to before she had a dog. Fancy schmancy. Whatever was in the envelope felt stiff, like a card. She ripped it open carefully and then her heart hit the floor when she read the words imprinted on it. "Grace Carnegie and Guest are cordially invited to the Lord Mayor's Chambers to celebrate the Stafford and District Business Awards ceremony at 7 p.m. on May 8th, 2018. Dress code, black tie." So many things ran through Grace's mind as she reread the invitation. What would she wear? Who would she take? Who would be there? Would she know anyone? Who else would be on her table? What did black tie even mean? Did she even want to go? This was her worst nightmare. She hated public events and she stressed so much about what to wear. She usually made herself ill. She hated making small talk with people she didn't know, feeling awkward and totally out of her comfort zone. Normally, she avoided occasions like this at all costs. She was also feeling more sensitive than usual at the moment, after a very traumatic incident on the school playground the day before. Grace loved the fact that her job allowed her to pick her son Archie from school 2 days a week and usually really enjoyed seeing him come out of the school. Yesterday, however, just as the kids were lining up with the teacher, a lady who was around 60 wandered over to Grace and said, "Isn't it fabulous that we're able to pick our grandchildren up from school? Don't you just love this part of being a granny? I wonder if our grandchildren are in the same class. Which one is yours?" Grace was well aware that on that particular day, she hadn't had time to put her face on, and that yes, she wasn't the youngest mum in the world, but she was way too embarrassed to tell this lady that Archie was her son, not her grandson. So she nervously smiled, mumbled, grabbed Archie's hand as quickly as she could and walked away holding her head high, even though she felt totally gut-punched. Now she was looking forward to next term, when she wouldn't have to do the school run anymore. Archie was 10, and in the last year of primary school, when they encouraged the kids to walk to and from school on their own, getting them ready for high school. At least then, she wouldn't have to face that woman again. It had played on her mind all evening, and when her friend Monica happened to call her that night, she burst into tears and confided that she'd already felt like a fat old frump, without someone thinking she was a good few years older than she actually was.